Good morning. 00 hours. Mostly cloudy. 70 degrees. Good morning. 0100 hours. Mostly cloudy. 71 degrees. Good morning. 0200 hours. Mostly cloudy. 72 degrees. Good morning. 0300 hours. Partly cloudy. 71 degrees. Good morning. 0400 hours. Mostly clear. 70 degrees. Good morning. 0500 hours. Mostly cloudy. 72 degrees. Good morning. 0600 hours. Partly cloudy. 73 degrees. Good morning. 0700 hours. Mostly sunny. 75 degrees.
This is KD9YBK testing.
Testing Echo Link to FM.
KERUH mobile.
Good morning. 0800 hours. Mostly cloudy. 77 degrees.
WATAP. On the way to work?
Actually, I'm working from home for a bit, and then I'll be on my way to work in a bit. Over by you.
KD8VSI. Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning, Greg. Yeah, it's the usual thing. Heading to work. Should be a pretty easy day. I think they're going to let us out early. Then we get an hour and a half lunch today.
Nice. Morning, Greg.
Cool. Are they doing a barbecue outside?
Yes, but it's at a different location. We bought a motor rebuild company or something. So it's going to be at a new facility, which is a 15-20 minute drive, each way. traffic's pretty light today.
Hey, Greg, question on the VoIP MS.
I'm listening.
Have you actually made a phone call with your VoIP MS number? And I don't mean just to your registered number, you know, like, or somebody within a network. You called, like, a landline or something else, anything on that line yet? I'm just trying to figure out some stuff that's got me scratching my head here on the web page.
Not. I rarely make phone calls in any case of any type. But I'm going to make note, like, if I got to make an appointment or something, from my desk and I'm there, I'm going to try and utilize that just to, you know, just utilize it and see how it goes. So the answer to your question is no, I have not.
Okay, mystery solved. All right, no problem. It's, I was just scratching my head. I'm, like, trying to figure out these numbers here that they have in there. They don't give you specifics. They just give you, like, numbers. And after talking to the other guys, like I said, wonder if it's Greg, you know. So, all right, anyhow, no big deal. That's all. Eric?
Roger. Yeah? Yeah, when I make business calls with my guys, I used to like using my Magic Jack, so this is going to... VoIP.MS is going to kind of replace Magic Jack. Now, am I correct that it does not offer 911? It doesn't come with 911? You got to pay extra for that?
Correct. Enhanced 911 or 911 is $1.50 a month. So, you know, you more than almost triple your monthly fee by adding 911 capability. I don't need it, but yes, that is correct. Greg?
I haven't even looked into 911 on it yet. I don't think I'll do it. I mean, I got the cell phone, so. But there you go. That's all I got.
Just for reference, it is free on the Magic Jack. But then they send you a bill every year for about $1. I think it's $1 to $2 a year. They say, well, you know, you don't have to pay this, but this is, I don't know how they worded it, but anyhow, they try to charge you like $1.50 for a whole year, not for a month, so. But if you've had an emergency, you can call the police department. And then they would, like, put you through to 911, wouldn't they?
So I don't know if 911 works, but the information is wrong or unpopulated, or if 911 dialing doesn't work at all. So I'm going to call my friends at the local dispatch center and tell them I want to try it, you know, and if they're not busy and they've got some time to give it a whirl, I'm going to see. If it comes in, if it works, if it comes in at all, and if it does come in at all, does it have information? My impression was that it will, and I could be way wrong on this, and I work in the business, go figure, but my impression was that if I dialed 911 from that desk set, it would go in, but they may or may not get accurate information for me. That was my impression, but I don't know, honestly.
Hold, hello?
There's someone who can answer the question. That F. Fred.
I'm going to take that hang time off. So, don't dial it. If you dial it and you do not have the 911 set up, you could be charged $60 because you're going to go to a routing center, which will then ask you your address to figure out what center to send it to. It doesn't know it. And usually there's a fee of $50 to $80.
I will file that under really good to know. Craig?
Yeah.
making it, Greg. Just bits and pieces here and there. Like you changed rooms or something. If you're at home, you walked into a different room and it just killed your signal.
Okay, yeah, I was up against the system. It should be better now. Anyway, that was going to be my question. I didn't know where you're at or which dispatch center to send you to. So, yeah, I'm with Fred on that. Don't do it.
So now the question is, can I prevent this phone from dialing 911? Can I take it out of the dial plan?
Still able to. It's just you're supposed to legally put a sticker on that says this phone can't dial 911. All right, I'm walking down to my office. I gotta change the Simplex node at the same time.
Okay, thanks for the info. I did not know that. This is good to know. I'm looking through my dial plan here. Not seeing it there. I mean, I'm not worried about it. I can't remember the last time I dialed 911 from any phone. Of course, I haven't had a desk phone sitting there, so what would be the possibility I could have dialed it? But, I'll dig around and see if there's a spot where I can nuke it. Greg?
Pat, I have dialed 911 years ago one time for a legit thing. But other than that, never needed it. But I tell you what, if you do need it, you kind of want it to work. So, I don't know. what are the odds of you actually needing 911 and the cell phone not working? I don't know.
Hey, John, like I was saying, with Magic Jack, like when I had the line up north and when I had the line down and Shelby, I would get a bill for Magic Jack, and it said this is what the county is charging and they want to recoup. It was under $2 for an entire year, and it said it was coming from, Macomb County down here and Roscommon County up there. Matter of fact, we'll try to find one of those emails and forward it to you, but yeah, for some reason Magic Jack was only like $2 a year. It's free. It's free 911 calling, but like I said, you get a bill from them for about $2 at the end of the year.
They're not reporting properly because it's Magic Jack and they don't care about the law.
Yeah, there's definitely a 911 surcharge. I know all about that. So they would, they would have to recover that. So that makes perfect sense. It's not $1.50 per month, but regardless, it is something. And then there's the cost to administer it. They probably have some cost associated with, administering that for, a million users or whatever it is, So I understand why they're asking it, right? And I bought this VoIP phone for Ham Shack Hotline and Hams over IP. I mean, this VoIP MS thing we're doing is just a, just a distraction, part of the fun. And do I need, 911 calling on that? I don't know. It's going to be shoved underneath the desk probably in short order when we are no longer interested. So, although I haven't called, I'm going to have to call Fred on my VoIP line here just to keep him on his toes, make sure that all is good in the world.
I
was calling
you.
You were calling me when I was calling you?
Yeah.
I was wondering why my cell phone was ringing as soon as I hit the button to call you. Crazy, all right. Anyhow, we got to keep the dust blown off these.
Out of
this is the first of the month.
Anyway,
I've
asked the desk
for my performance here shortly. I'll tell you how much.
I love paying the 911 fees all over the state for it right now. Oh, I gotta log in and do the bills.
Heard you, Greg. We'll catch you. You're listening a little bit again. Kind of noisy there, but no problem. And you should rightfully bitch at the system owner. You should be able to use your Bofang and list to the right. The damn infrastructure. What's wrong with those people?
Yeah, this is the weird spot by my dentist's office. Every time I come here, the building is directly between me and the tower. So, and there's a power line right behind it. So, just a small parking lot that I get weird in. So, anyway, out in a bit. TCCSI.
You to work yet, Eric? I guess that answers that. Anywho. So, yeah, I don't know if you're familiar, Fred, with this VoIP MS. We all got it because they're a Canadian company, and I'm sure you're familiar with them, but they're cheap as dirt, 85 cents a month, and, you know, like 9/10 of a cent a minute. And so we can have it on these phones, you know, for little or no cost, play around with it. And calling between, as long as you stay on their system, it's all free, so it's yet another free use for, you know, of course, the 85 cents. But, you know, then you think, you know, well, I got a real phone here now. So now you start to look at that $1.50 thinking, you know, I don't know, does $1.50 a month seem fairly reasonable?
Yeah, because usually what they'll do, so it's a buck. I think my E911 access for me is $1 per DID plus tax. So you need to, while it might be, you know, $1.50 to enable E911 access, the tax rate is going to vary, generally is what, there's still the percentage you pay for, you know, whatever rate center or whatever county, because it's county-based in Michigan. So wherever county you're in is what gets the rate, you know, for the percentage or whatever. So, like, right now, because every month I log in and I got a, you know, prepay for our rates through SkyTel. And so, like, I'm on Rockland's first. So I had 15 hours of inbound and 27 hours of outbound for just for Rockman's last month. And it was, it cost $1.89 in minutes. But my taxes, $36 in E911 taxes, just for one account, or for Rockman's, which is only 140 numbers, so that's not bad. When I go pull up my view statement, my view on is going to be three times that. So, yeah, E911 can suck my left and right nut. I have paid so much more a month for E911 than we will ever, you know. It pays for hose 8K every once a year.
Well, you know me, I won't, this is the first time I'm seeing it on the consumer end. I'm a big fan of it on the professional end. So, I get it. We were the worst here. We didn't assess anything for the longest time. And then when we did, it was like an act of God just to get them, you know, just to get the, amount that they'll let you have without even, you know, batting an eye. They finally broke down and did it here, but we're one of the lowest ones, and they struggle to, you know, to increase it all the time. They don't want to do anything but the, you know, but the bare minimum they can without, and they didn't even want to do that. They said, oh, everybody will view it as a tax, they'll view it as a tax, and it was like pulling teeth, but we need it for the dispatch center, damn it. So, you know, I get it, it's not cool, but, you know, when you're clutching your arm and you want the cavalry Ricky kick, I guess paying a little bit is, you know, collectively we pay in a little, and it helps us fund, just a drop in the bucket, but it does help fund some of the some of the dispatch operations.
So I get, it needs to be done differently though. How back in the 80s and 90s, you know, when you had, or, you know, when you could go by landlines, you know, they brought this landline into the wireless and then tried to bring it into the wireless world. And it used to be by circuit location. So like say I had 20 POTS lines into an office, you know, it would be done by that. They were able to put it so that it was one group. Well, in the IP world, they don't do that. So is 911 going to come to my house 47 or 50 or 200 times faster because I'm paying the tax on 200 DIDs? No, they're not. But yet, you know, if some people say, oh, it's only an extra 50 because they're trying to raise it to $3 here. And I'm just like, you're doubling it. You're doubling that per line rate for us. You're not coming to my house or our offices any quicker. It just needs to be, there has to be another way of thinking of this per line BS for it is not, you know, yeah. Anyways, that's, you know, my minutes used $2. My taxes for just E911 were $36 for that. So that's where I'm getting at it. My phone call usage, it's costing me more in taxes for 911 than what we're using minute-wise.
No, I get it. I get it. You know, but the way I look at it is more like an insurance thing. You know, my costs, you know, per year to insure my house is X, and my actual claims against it were zero. You know, that's the way I look at it. You know, I know it's not, I kind of view it as like insurance. Like, you know, I'm paying this 911 fee. I hope I don't ever need it, but when I do, you know, it's there. Yeah, but I get it, right? You know, maybe there is a different way to do it, or maybe not necessarily tie it. Just do it as a, you know, millage or something too, you know. And they should probably just do it statewide so you don't have all these, you know, counties with different attitudes. Some counties are going to be, yeah, whatever the max is and double it. You know, and then other ones are like, you know, I don't even want to do the minimum, you know. So instead of having all that infighting, just go statewide. This is what the 911 fee will be per household, a millage, done on the story. If you had $36 added to your house, your homeowner's taxes per year, you'd probably hardly bat an eye. You know, but when you look at it in conjunction to the dollars worth of phone calls, yeah, it's probably, and you're disproportionate because you're getting hit with 36, and I'm getting hit with, you know, I mean, what, I got two cell phones, you know, so I'm getting hit with, a couple of dollars, you know, or something like that. So I get it. It needs to be more proportional. Maybe a per house millage type thing. I don't know. Seems like that'd be more equitable.
So, is there just one PSAP in your county?
No, but, you know, everything, the checks cut to us, and then we distribute it, you know, based on metrics, you know, for instance, population runs, things like that. It's, you know, it's a commission, and then it's divvied up. So, it comes to us, and then we distribute it to the other PSAPs.
Okay, that's what I was going to bring up. So, here in Tennessee, I'll use it as an example. We have two PSAPs. We used to have three, but now we have two. Center, Tennessee County, and then Penn City. We have our own dispatch center. But because of the way the law is written into the MPSS, you know, Public Service Commission, we can't, my 911 fees go to center, and then center cuts a check supposedly to here. To Penn City. Never minding the fact that we fund our own dispatch center. Yes, that money, we don't need any new money, but yet we're now going to have to pay more because even though Genesee County wants to build a new center, we don't need to raise our rates, but yet because it's county-based and the county's 911 want, or, you know, they want more money, you know, we're now going to have to foot more bill, even though our center doesn't need it. Ooh, Michelle's bringing me down hash and eggs for breakfast.
I like it when she's home late. Goes in late on Mondays or Wednesdays.
Hold on, I gotta deal with this annoying Lance guy in Slack.
No worries. I'll fire up my Slack. I haven't clicked the button yet. I'm eating my hashtags. WS.
Hear that guy's a jackwagon.
Makes sense.
Yeah, I think the VID is the thing I was missing, because I was just looking at here and I was like, I don't see any way that tells which line to go out on. AB line.
Yeah, if you eliminate everything, the semi, everything after the, you know, the name, semicolon vid equals, if you eliminate that completely, it'll automatically pick line one in all cases. So you don't have to have anything for line one, but you do have to have the semicolon vid equals for any other line. So that's the key.
Yeah, I was trying to remember how I even came up with that formula. I know I had, at one point, I think I had like a calculator on an Excel sheet that you put in the extension and hit the button and it gave you all the lines. You just copy and paste it in, and then it added a little paper to print out and put in your little window.
Yeah, I got the digital one, so I use the NME equals, you know, and then it pops up on the display. I'm guessing with the first of all, I'm assuming you're running a 525. I don't know that that's the case. But if you have the non-digital one, the S, I'm guessing you could leave everything out after proxy unless you need it to go out on a different line.
Yeah, I have the standard console, but just the lights with the... You're going to have the paper in there to tell you what's on it, but... I have the NME in there just to know what the line is when you're looking at the programming, otherwise it's just a bunch of numbers.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense that way. And then that way, if you ever swap to a different, you know, if you ever got a digital one, it'd all be there. Assuming that, I don't know that that would be the case, because that ATT console tab seems to be, it seems to know which one I got, because it says unit 1, key 1 through 30. So that's telling me it thinks it's got a 30 key unit, which is the digital. If I had the analog one plugged in, it would have to have 32 keys. So, yeah, so it must, yeah, this, the programming, I don't know if the programming stays with the console or it gets nuked or what. I'll know today. I'm getting a analog one to play with. I'm going to play with the two of them. Hope I don't nuke everything.
I'm not sure. I thought the tenant console tab was there even without it, because I even have, like, I have the thing for, because you can do two attendant consoles, and there's unit one and unit two, even though I don't have a unit two.
Yeah, no, I think the tab's there, but what I'm saying is, like, you have an analog sidecar. So if you go down to the part where you're manipulating these numbers, you should have a unit one and a unit two, because you can have up to two units, and it should say unit 1 key 1 through unit 1 key 32, correct? Mine says unit 1 key 1 through unit 1 key 30, because that's the difference between the two, the digital, you know, besides the hardware difference, is the digital unit's only 30 in two pages of 15, whereas yours is 32. So what does your unit 1 say?
I have 32, but I also still see unit 2, so I don't remember. I guess I could unplug the sidecar and see what happens, but I don't know.
Yeah, no, I get that, and I know that you see something there, but what I'm saying is mine only says Unit 1, Key 1 through Unit 1, Key 30, so it must know which kind of sidecar I got, because it's going to be 30 or 32, depending on which sidecar. I'll know more later. I'm going to play with it a little bit. The real question is, am I going to lose all this if I'll be ticked if I lose all this, if I unplug it and plug it back in?
I wouldn't think unplugging it would lose all that, but you never know. Mine does say 32, but I don't remember having to tell it that, and I don't remember what it said without it. Well, the sidecar on there, but anyway, I guess you'll get to play with it.
Roger, yeah, it must somehow know, you know, what's plugged in, because I didn't tell it, and it's at 30, so. Anyhow, I'll get to the bottom of that question later. Hey, I've got to get to work. I've got some things coming up here, and I got to get prepped for it. W8FU.
You know, all this wave stuff is taking away from me playing with ASL3.
We gotta have it on the hub, man.
What, ASL3 or Siemens voice?
Both. But yeah, both. No, I was poking around looking at actually the only thing I wanted to see is if I could run Allman 3, but it looks like Allman 3 is you can run it on Bookworm, and I think you can go back one or two. I think it's the next revision after what you're running. So, it's going to be a heavy lift.
Yeah, it is. I got the two nodes down in the garage just so I had them here. And I've spun up a new VM, but I have already been using Debian 12 VMs, so that wasn't the end of the world. I will probably do Siemens UHF Hub as my test first. And then, Once I know we're good there, I'll clone it and work on the others.
I want an MI-10 VoIP node.
I don't think we're calling it MI-10. I thought we were calling it Siemens. What did we say the other day, Sean?
SIP Siemens.
That's what we're calling it, the SIP Siemens server, or service.
Just follow in line, call it MI-10.
I think he missed it.
I know, he missed it. Alright, I just got this, so I switched to jams. Monthly taxes for E911. I had to add them all up because of the different rate centers. Oh, and don't forget the state. $58 to E911 last month. Between the different centers, just for one company. It only had, just so you, it had $18 in minutes total. That doesn't include the federal exercise taxes, USF service funds, and all the other taxes, but yeah. $110 total in taxes for $20 of usage.
Yeah, I'm curious what the first first monthly is going to be on this VoIP MS or Canadian company. It's $85 a month and then 9 cents a minute. And I'm wondering what other regulatory or otherwise, what other fees might be in there. I did some searching on it. Somebody said there's really no hidden fees or anything, but you would think there's got to be some of the taxes, right?
Yeah, but sometimes Spectrum rolls it into their monthly fees, kind of how they do it. Spectrum does it, so it's flat rate. So what they quote you is including all your taxes and fees. But, yeah. All right, go to work. I gotta export this report and send it off and pay this bill, too. I just worked Japan on 20 meters. Woo-hoo!
Give me this, Javier.
W8FU.
Line Mobile.
Good morning. 0900 hours. Cloudy. 77 degrees.
NAKCP Mobile.
W8F.
So it sounds like you're working very hard.
I'm driving to my meeting, man.
Who drives to meetings? What do you talk about?
FirstNet. They're putting on a dog and pony show, so it's much better in person, so I can mock them personally and in their face.
I thought they did it. You already get that in Europe.
They're doing it for someone there. So anyhow, they've set the tension, the excitement of push to talk on a cell device. It's just. The excitement is just unbelievable.
Alright. 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 Hello, radio. Hello, radio.
They're like, yeah, we have push to talk. I'm saying, funny, we do too.
We've had push to talk for eons.
Nah, they're going to show off whatever their latest gateway device is, you know. I'm sure, and I'm always called in to assess the technology and make recommendations. They're interested in some non-first, you know, responder kind of maybe administrative type uses for this technology. We'll see. Last time I demoed their stuff was, I think, pre-COVID, and I was not terribly impressed with the device, but I think things have evolved a bit, so I don't know, we'll see.
Some of the simple admin stuff if you're already paying for a cell phone kind of thing.
Well, I don't know what they're going to be pushing, so that's part of the reason I'm going. See what they're pushing, what they want to show and tell, and see if it's anything new or just the same old, same old. But we'll find out. I definitely see a supplemental use for this kind of stuff. But as long as it's supplemental, and that's the problem with a lot of this technology and stuff like that. It starts off, you know, oh yeah, we're just doing it, you know, kind of like as a little bonus or a little supplemental, and next thing you know, it gets dependent. And I look at that with like e-dispatch, you know. It's not, you know, NFPA accepted, as a, you know, but everybody's so hooked on it now, it's like, you know, that's our method. You know, you have to have a solid brick-and-mortar installed system. That is, you know, all fine, but...
Yeah, the whole I am responding stuff. That's when I did the two-tone, the SMS and all that stuff, I specifically stated this is not your primary alerting method. This is a backup and ancillary when you're out of range.
Exactly. You know, and it works so well that, you know, people can grow very, very dependent upon it. We got to remember. Well, I got to order my.
I have an iced chai latte with
pumps.
He wants extra oat milk.
He wants you to melt the oat and put it in his coffee. Grab that oat by the teeth. Yeah, grab that oat by the teeth and squeeze it into that cup.
No better. I turned it down.
So, Sean, isn't the answer always, well, what happens if the cell phone tower goes down?
Dave, where have you been? This is FirstNet, band 14. It doesn't go down, ever.
Good morning.
Ever.
1000 hours. Mostly cloudy. 77 degrees.
Whew, 77 degrees already?
I didn't pay attention. According to my thermal meter in the vehicle, it says 82, so a little spicier down here.
Yeah, 76. Yeah, band 14, it never goes down. Never, ever, ever.
Going back to 82.
I remember their last radio purchase. That stuff was just kind of like, you know, just kind of like getting to be a thing, and they marched a guy into the council meeting. He had bent somebody's ear. We can supply, you know, we can supply you with cell phones. We could do all this. You don't have to invest in a radio system. And of course, you know, there's always some politician that, like, you know, I heard we can do this for a fraction of the cost through, you know, with just with our, you know, it's like, oh my God.
Your phone can't talk to my phone, talk to your phone, talk to their phone, because we are never, ever, ever going with AT&T. Well, are they at least going to buy you lunch?
Okay,
you
at the window,
limeade.
Gotta get my coffee.
Diet limeade.
Nope, it's triple grande cappuccino dry.
Christ. I don't need that crap.
Sounds fruity, but it's not. Triple just means I want three shots of espresso. Grande just means I only want to pay for one extra, because the grande comes with two. And cappuccino, which is basically just espresso with a little bit of foam. It sounds fancy, but it's not.
I caffeinated
water, and you know what? Now that I say that, I bought a big, big bottle of caffeinated water the other day. I thought, oh.
I've got a nice new toddle. Before Michelle went out the door, she filled my water glass up with crushed ice and water. So I'm drinking my water right now. Mmm, tasty.
Well, it's been 10 minutes. KF8S.
W-8-F-U.
W-8-F-S-M. Alright, I logged into the two garage nodes and I set their hang times. So, no more 2-second hang times on the networking keys.
Is this on your nodes? I set my nodes to 0 hang times so that I have a fighting chance.
Well, I did 2. Actually, I did 100, so it's fine with me. But yeah, it was defaulting to 2. I kind of like the new, well not new, but new to us, structure inside of repeat comp. It'll help, it's helping on a few other things, so I kind of like it. And I'm like, ooh, I like this. Ooh, yeah, daddy like this. So other than the issue with the USB on boot, the two Pi nodes, I think that's been my only issue on the Pi nodes so far. I do still don't like how Allmon 3 works compared to the original Allmon 2. So I'm still not on board with Allmon 3 yet.
Well, I'm sure Dave has a ton to say about that. I like the look. But as far as the operation, you know, I'm not so sure. But that's more you guys. there's a lot to like. I just, you know, Dave's and you guys have both been compiling this on your own and stuff for a while. You know, to me, it's all new. And I'm just glad to see that they're, you know, that they're actively working on this, and they've made quite a bit of progress. You know, so they haven't been sitting on their hands. I'm quite excited about that.
When you hire new devs, what do you think? They hired somebody new to do it. There's one new dev that they hired and paid for.
Oh, okay. Well, where are they getting that funding from?
I can't say because, you know, they got me kicked off their network the last time I raised stinks.
Yeah, I have to agree. The new templating system's pretty nice, so you can have like a default and then define your nodes underneath it. They also moved some of like the registration stuff in its own file. One thing I don't like though is the voice, whatever they did for the, you know, connected to node, blah, blah, blah. It's like really slow. I don't know why they went to a slower voice.
So I haven't, because I've only done it on the simplex nodes, so I haven't noticed it there, because all my nodes connect up and go, but someone else mentioned the same thing, the cadence or something was off with it, but I'm not sure if it's because of the audio files or not. Usually I replace the audio files with my own, so I guess I haven't noticed that too quickly yet, but I saw somebody else in one of the forums mention that.
So you think maybe there's a setting somewhere to speed up the voice a little?
No, I think it's playing the audio files like it normally does, and these are new audio files.
So what did they benefit by going to a newer asterisk version? Is there like a ton new things that we haven't been exposed to before?
Security. The security, the difference, you know. You know, it's now you can take the latest security patches from the main asterisk, which, you know, they made these changes. Like, so the way the comp files and all that, you see, that's been the way asterisk's been for years now. It's been a while, but security, the patches and all that, and the core, and then trying to do the timing for the audio for, you don't have to worry about the DGI or whatever anymore, which has always been was a pain on the older version, and the newer kernels, so that's why you're able to run the newer kernels, because it's not dependent upon that old DGI for timing and such.
Yeah, so I've noticed they're still compiling the Dottie kernel driver. Are you saying it's optional now?
Sorry, not optional. It's the newer version of it which can work on the newer kernels.
Oh, nice. So that means that people can use those Chinese clone simple board computers now, which, you know, they have opinionated kernels in them. And one thing I've found is they don't have some of the OSS audio drivers compiled in their kernel, so you end up having to compile their kernel again.
So there was something else they weren't doing. So the only with the little board, the other boards, I want to say it was the ARM. They weren't doing the ARM. Yeah, ARM V7i and ARM HS32-bit packages are not going to be compiled for. So like if you had an old Beagle board or Beagle Bone type of thing, because that was ARM V7 or whatever, or ARM HF. They're not. The new packages aren't
going to
compile for that.
Yeah, everything I've got is ARM 64, or, you know. The other thing, too, is you can, on your Mac, you can use a Parallels VM. It's all ARM 64, so you can, I don't know why you'd want to, but you could run a node on your Mac now, you know, portable, I guess.
Well, luckily I've got enough wise boxes. I think what I'm going to end up doing is, you know, doing a fresh install and a fresh build. I'm going to try the remote update to this version, but I think what the safer thing is to just rebuild a fresh wise box and slowly swap them out. You know, rebuild one, put the config in, drop it in. But I'll have to, for the RTCM sites, voted sites, because we're not running as root now, we need to change our RTCM port on all the RTCMs.
Cool. Yeah, I sneaked this. Did you know about this for a while, or was this a surprise for you when they released this?
I heard rumors, but that was it. Because there's been work on the... Because I've got Debian 12 nodes up and running already. But it's a little... The fact that they went further along in here, you know, since they banned me from their networks, I kind of am not in the inside on a lot of that anymore.
Yeah, fade us. I've been pre-compiling this stuff before, but now it seems like it's going to be a lot easier. I've got to update my one hub in the cloud, but I'm like, I don't want to break things yet. So I think it's going to be okay though. I don't think I have to worry about that, but yeah, I hope they figure out that USB thing. I tried doing like wait for USB, you know how you can put in the systemd service file, you say wait for USB device to be available, and I tried that didn't work, so there's some timing issue. It's like the system boots up, and it like disconnects the USB bus, and then it puts it back, so I don't know if it's necessarily apt-rpt's fault. I think the OS is removing the USB and putting it back, and there's like a timing issue. So like that 30-second delay, you know, it's a hack, but it seems to be good enough.
And I haven't, Sean, did you say you had no issue with the Wise Box doing that though, but it was just on the Pi?
Sorry, do you call me?
Yeah, that USB thing, that's just happening on the Pi. It's not happening on the Wise Box.
Correct. Wisebox has been like a rock at Gibraltar. But jury's still out. I got one done up on a Pi 4 that I haven't seen the problem on, but I haven't had it done up on that one long enough. The one I did up on a Pi 3V Plus did exhibit that problem. But I did Dave's little hack to put a little timing in there, and it's been fine since. So.
Yeah, it seems specific to the Pi. It's something on the Pi. So maybe when they're loading one of their special kernel drivers or whatever. Because if you'll notice, they're using the Pi's kernel version. So I don't know what secret sauce they're doing for their USB module, you know.
Yeah, that's what I'm... And the two garage simplex nodes are Pi 3 pluses, so I did those. And, but my hope, well, so I think this tomorrow I'm gonna start doing the Wisebox stuff and a VM for the hub. So gonna do the UHF hub as a test first, and then, which I might even do today depending on other things, but, I'm going to do that and put the Wise, do the first Wise boxes. Most of our Wise boxes are RTCM based, so I won't see the USB on it, but we do have Ann Arbor and I guess that all the GMRSs are now on Wise boxes too, so yeah, so they'll be Wise and RTCM, so yeah.
Well, the good news is it only seems to happen at boot. So once the system's booted, then the thing runs, you know, flawlessly after that. It's only if somebody were to reboot the box or, you know, power it off or whatever. That's why that delay is kind of like kind of crucial. I mean, it's annoying because when you restart Asterisk, it has that 30-second delay even when the OS is booted. So, I mean, there's probably something you could do, like, oh, if system's been booted, don't do delay. But anyways, there is a GitHub issue. Captain Don reported, I'm impressed by him every day because he actually knew how to report a GitHub issue. So he reported a GitHub issue. Developers know about it. They're going to get a test unit, and they're going to test with that. So I think the fix is forthcoming.
Sorry, I was typing really loudly. I need to give you a little finger thing here. Or a foot pedal, that's what I need.
Yep, anyways. Good times. We'll have something better to use. I'm still using Ham VoIP on my I got a Shari and a Clear Node, so I'm just going to leave those alone. And only the Wisebox and, you know, the Cloud Hub VM or whatever. That's the only thing I'm going to do ASL3 on now. But, yeah, Almon 3, there's some improvements I need to do that. For example, like these Ham VoIP nodes, when you connect, it doesn't display them over there. And I think maybe they're filtering. It's like, oh, if there's a letter in the ID, they don't display it or something like that. If it doesn't convert to a number, they ignore it.
So for like when a call sign connects with like EchoLink or any of that stuff.
Yeah, and I was going to look at their code. And, you know, if I get bored, I'll look at their code. I was going to look at their code and see what they're doing. I think the data is coming in. They're just ignoring it when they display it on the web page. Like, you know, every, like, web app has some kind of, like, JSON blob that they're pulling from somewhere. So I bet you it's in that JSON blob that they're pulling from it. It's just not displaying.
Yeah, I don't know. I know it looks prettier, but functionality-wise, I liked how the old one functioned. We could build better displays. Multi-node displays better for public viewing, I should say. We're better on that. So, oh, there went the air conditioner. Oh, it's turned on. I'm going to get cold air blowing on me.
Yeah, I mean, the other thing, too, I mean, they're doing the right thing. They're only creating one AMI connection to the node, and then they're just kind of, like, displaying it. So, you know, you could have, like, 1,000 users hammering the site, and it's only going to use one AMI connection to the All-Star node. So, I think that might help with performance there, But I don't know. We haven't really noticed it, right? I mean, we usually only have, like, maybe 10 users at most looking at the dashboard.
Well, what I'm curious is how the voter display will work, because we multi-display multiple voters on one page right now. And if you get around five or six voters per page, it can cause an issue. Not, like, receivers, but, like, actual, you know, this repeater has four receivers, the actual central nodes, I should say.
Okay, well, you'll be the test of that one. See how that works, but, that was one of their key features, though, is, like, there's, like, one server connects to the All-Star node and with the AMI, and then anybody that connects to the web thing, it's, like, a proxy, and they got, like, a server. There's like a server now, server client thing running. So I think the server in the background is talking to the AMI interface, and then the server, you know, as people come in with the, it generates the JSON blob that it's like cache. It's a Python app. I know that much. So they're using WebSockets now. I don't think they were using WebSockets before. It was just like the old way of doing things where they would just open up a stream. So, I don't know. Well, I guess we'll see. I mean, I'd be curious, too.
All right, I'm checking out. I got to turn this down because I'm going in. Wish me luck. WAW.
Make sure that you feed you. WSF.
All righty, I got to get my stuff to you. I'll be listening, though. KFAS.
Good morning, 1100 hours. Mostly cloudy. 78 degrees. Good afternoon, 1200 hours. Mostly cloudy. 78 degrees.
Well, that was interesting. W8FU.
How interesting. You did what?
Are you here or there?
Right here. I was going pee when I heard you, but I
keep doing. Oh, I was just saying, that was interesting. Boy, they've got some very sexy devices, some very aggressive pricing plans. I'm pretty interested for certain applications.
Oh, look at that. They're getting you.
Got some real ruggedized devices that are compact, very nice, ruggedized, and, you know, they got the push-to-talk, and they got everything from just the simplest, looks like a small radio, all the way up to, you know, full-blown smartphone-type device that's all ruggedized. Sonos makes it. Very cool-looking piece. And, you know, they're like 99 cents, because government, no contract. 99 cents for the device, and it can be as little as, you know, $2 a month for the device. Like, okay, for certain applications, how do I not do that?
Well, I don't know.
I'll wait a minute. Yeah, so anyhow, so they're looking at them for like a cert team and some other various things, which should be real smart, you know, instead of buying, you know, $3,000 radios. It makes a lot more sense. And, you know, and then it's not mission critical, so applications like that, why not?
Yeah, but that's $2 monthly, but you're getting full data with that, everything? That doesn't sound right.
I know, they're going to work up some quotes and all that. Now, if you want to bridge it to an actual talk group on the system, you know, now, until Critical Connect gets done, you got to do that with, like, an interface box, and I forget what brand they're using nowadays, but, and a radio, and then there's some other things that they all add to the price, but for the simplest, plans, it's pretty cheap all the way around. Beats the hell out of outfitting everybody with a, $3,000 radio.
Yeah, but it's never just $2 an endpoint. That's what them. I would be hard pressed to see you get in with a full device done for less than 15 to 20 a month.
Yep. No, I know. They're going to work up some quotes. We'll see what the actual quotes look like.
Yeah, but I'd wait until the quote comes in, number one. But, yeah. Because for $4, you can get a bowel fix.
Yeah, right. All right, I got to jump out here at Zestia, grab myself a chicken Greek. That sounds like the plan for today. I'll be back. W8FU.
Yeah, I got asked to do a Halo update and a beta app, so I'm doing that. doing a Halo order right now to test the app for them.
I got $5 off my order as a frequent flyer.
Wow.
I like those kind of rewards. I hate these ones, like I go to, I forget which one it is, and they're always offering me stuff I don't want, like free cookie with your next order, or, you know, free this or free that, and stuff I don't want or can't eat. You know, so that's all great for people who like cookies, but or can eat cookies. This one here just flat out cash. Said you have 73 points, and I got $5 off my order, and I earned 8 points on this order, so they earn at a pretty good rate.
Hey, I just looked at my when you mentioned that, I'm like, oh, I wonder what my Halo rewards are, and it's like I have. Because every time you get points, it goes up and they give you the reward. So, like, 100, at 100 points, you get a cookie, 250 a fry tot, 500 a burger. So I'm looking, and it says I have 4 tots, 4 cookies, and 4 burgers to use for free still. I'm like, oh, maybe I should use my rewards points.
Yeah, that's right. You got to use that stuff up. You know, the one I never cash in on is Ace Hardware. They have a, what the hell's going on here? I like the lights on that new SUV. Nice. They broke down against traffic. It must have been trying to turn into the lot or something weird. Anyhow, Ace sends me things all the time. You know, $5 off or this or that or the other. I never use that one. And Meijer's send me coupons, and I never use those. And I look, and they're always pertinent. They're always stuff I bought. I just got to get, I'm not a clipper, a coupon clipper. I got to do that.
Well, my sister-in-law was here last week, and we were going through, what you get points back and percentages and all that on the cards and such. So I have an Apple card that I was just using for, like, dining and such and Apple purchases. I didn't realize. I thought it was just crediting the 1-3% back to the card. Nope. It's been sitting there for 4 years or 3 years. I had like $500. Oh, what should I do with this? I'm like, well, let's put this in the savings account. And so I had to set it up to do the savings. I'm like, huh. That money has just been sitting there for 3 years.
It's always nice finding a little money tucked away somewhere you forgot about. Good stuff. Good stuff. All right, I'm just pulling in the sub here. I'm going to navigate through and get to my salad. I got myself a chicken Greek from Zestia. I don't know if you guys got Zestia up there, but not bad. No great shakes, but they're pretty good. And I've got a box of 6 Cisco phones and 2 sidecars. Yes. So I know what I'm going to be doing this afternoon. W8FU after yours.
All right. Well, I'm watching for K2 Foxtrot. I mean, K2F and K2K on FT8. And then I'll, tomorrow I figured while I was working on, then I'll have the sweep on that. Oh, and I just saw K2 Foxtrot. Let's go here. Click. Then I started working on CW yesterday, but I got busy, so maybe tomorrow I'll be CW. And I guess I will work on the Siemens SIF instead of, I'm going to work on All-Star, but I guess I'll start working on the Siemens SIF.
So much semen, so little time. W8FU.
Yeah, check Slack. I did some screenshots of the Allman 3 I was working on while I was doing something else, so. W8FU.
Good afternoon. 1300 hours. Cloudy. 80 degrees. Good afternoon. 1400 hours. Cloudy. 75 degrees.
This is KD4UHY, located in northern Alabama, Echo Link, virtual reality big screen. Anyone have a copy on this station?
Because you're on the wrong band.
Good afternoon. 1500 hours. Mostly cloudy. 81 degrees. Good afternoon. 1600 hours. Mostly cloudy. 80 degrees.
Sean, your P25 is not getting rid of the tone squelch.
Good afternoon. 1700 hours. Mostly sunny. 82 degrees.
Yeah, baby, well.
Good evening, 1800 hours. Mostly sunny. 82 degrees.
That's what I was saying.
Good evening, 1900 hours. Sunny. 82 degrees.
Anybody around for a quick check? Yeah, you're real light in the system. I couldn't make that out.
With you, Papa. Papa, you're sounding good here.
All right, thank you. W-A-F-E. Thank you.
Hey, Sean, I got your message. I left one on the voice system.
Good evening, 20 hundred hours. Sunny, 82 degrees.
Hey, anybody around right now? Star 9.
N-A-K-B-B.
Hey, Wally, how you doing? I'm testing out one of these Ciscos. I take it you got my message. Anyhow, just doing okay?
Oh, then my bicycle, but yeah.
Okay, we're just doing a little dog and pony on the new Cisco for my buddy Mark. And you probably got my message. I got yours. They all came in.
They wanted to know where his phone was, so they're pretty excited. So we'll hook up here in the next day or so.
All right. Catch you later. W8FU. Blah, blah.
Blah, blah, blah.
Good evening, 21 hours. Sunny, 78 degrees. Good evening, 22 hours. Clear, 74 degrees.
W-A-F-U. W-A-F-U.
Good evening, 23 hours. Mostly cloudy, 72 degrees.
Okay, I'm 80 well.